I'm so enjoying the just arriving in the silence with you. Even though I know conventionally speaking I'm supposed to say something at this point. And I will, I'm sure I will say many things. Reminded me of, I wish I had it with me, but there's a Pablo Neruda poem about let's all keep quiet. And he sort of paints a picture of wouldn't it be incredible if in the world, you know, people went out or we took a moment amidst all of what's happening internally with us and externally with our world. And we all gathered together and for a moment we could keep quiet. Not keep quiet, like we get told sometimes as a child or in the library or in the school, not keep quiet, like there's something wrong with us to make sound. Sound is beautiful. It can be a gift. But to keep the quiet, we keep it, we tend it, like something precious that we don't want to lose sight of as we move into the world of animation and speech and activity and, right? So often for many of us, there's a gap between the depth of the silence and the quietitude that we either know or we intuit or we may not have touched yet in ourselves, and the world of animation, of things, of relationships, of forms, of dealing with the world. So let's keep quiet. Can you hear the difference? It's like something to nurture. Because so much calls so loudly in us, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean by that? I'll find out who's new, and if I'm speaking too much in metaphors, we'll meet and you can tell me. But so much calls so loudly internally, the mind can call really loudly. You know, its main headlines of whatever your main loud headlines are in your mind. That gets our attention, and it does need care, for sure. It needs wisdom, it needs skill. We need to understand what the place of that is. And so much in our world calls to us for attention. Our loved ones, ourself, our illnesses of body, of mind, the beauty that's here that calls to us, the magnificence, the joy and sorrow of this world calls to us, the pain, the confusion, and the mystery of it all. So let's keep quiet. Because one thing that the Buddha was very excellent at in his teaching was to come into a wise relationship with things, right? Things. And nothing actually isn't a thing. Everything. Things. Internal things. Feelings, perceptions, mental activity, emotions, all the different ways consciousness can show up as space, as love, as joy, as hatred, as anger, as greed, and all the things around us, people, grasses, mountains, countries, chairs and tables, to come into a wise relationship with things, because this is where we get snagged, this is where we get bound, this is where we get caught, this is where we get confused, is how to relate to the world of things. Because we've lost touch, in a sense, with the depth that lets us know what these things really are. Not what we think they are, not our ideas about them, not our history with them, not our wishes for them, but an immediate, direct understanding of what actually the world of things is and what we are in that. What is this? Beyond our ideas about it. So his excellence was training the mind to see where do we get snagged. It's a great word in English, isn't it? We get snagged like your stockings get snagged on a hook or barbed wire or something? Where do we get snagged and caught? How come that happens, that the mind gets entangled? How come? And what's the way to release that through the depth understanding that then lets us come into a wise relationship with things? So put very succinctly, he said, I teach one thing only, and that is suffering and the end of suffering. Because that is our existential suffering, isn't it? To be caught, to be entangled, to be not at home, actually, in the world. And it can be worded many ways and can take many different forms. That kind of rub, that kind of sense of this, one of my teachers says it's like, there's two things in the world, is how it looks from the perspective of the unawakened mind. He says it looks like there's the world, that's one thing, and the other thing is me. That's the second thing, right? It's kind of me in relation to the world. This sense of self, that is, what is it? What is it? So today's theme is quite ambitious in a way. It's not self and self-acceptance. How the teaching, one of the, again, the offerings of the Buddha to the maps of wisdom that we have in the world is this understanding of emptiness. Emptiness, not just of self, but emptiness of everything, that anything we look deeply into doesn't have some little place right at the center that definitively defines it. That there's a sort of nugget at the end that you've got the thing. Right? Same as science sees now. You can't just get to the end point and that's the Catherine bit. I've got the Catherine bit. It's not my body, is it? Because that's going to go. It's not my mind. That can also go. It's not my feelings. They keep changing. It's not the ideas about I have about myself. Because if I hold on to them, that doesn't do it either. Right? I'm a nice person. Well, sometimes. Sometimes many other things happen. So his brilliance is the emptiness of things. Meaning, when we see and understand there's nothing at the center that is ultimate. Doesn't mean there's not nothing, that there's not anything here. He didn't say that. We are here. We are really here. Right? We are really here, but not in the way that we think we are. And this understanding of emptiness of self, when we see it through our direct experience, not just the idea, but through our meditative inquiry, frees us up to be in relation with things. Because if I understand, really see, right in this moment, that there's nothing there, ultimately, that has a final stopping point, what is my relationship going to be with it? There's more room, there's more space, there's more malleability, there's less fixation, less grasping, less tension, less snagging, more creativity, more freedom, more play, more possibility. More possibility to be in relationship with the world in a way that leads onward. So I hadn't intended that, but I've kind of gone in at the deep end of the practice, and so it is, such as it is, and I'll guide us in to how we can understand that together, right? So firstly, I want to check... yes, I recognize some faces here. Hi. Saw some of you last weekend at Gaia House. It's really lovely. And some old-timers, some real old-timers here. And there's a lot of faces I haven't seen before, actually. Hi. Please raise your hand if you think you're relatively new to meditation, insight meditation, Buddha Dharma, Buddha, the way the Buddha showed the path. Please raise your hand. Great. So 3, 5, 10-ish. Great. Thank you. do you want to raise your hand if you're an old timer? So the people who consider themselves newer or newish will meet, and I can say, give a little bit more background. And it's not that you wouldn't normally hear that speech at a beginner's class. So, okay. So it's mostly silent. I'll speak and I'll offer some guidance about meditation and ways of looking as we explore together. I'll offer a couple of optional groups in that little classroom there. You go into the loos, which are two doors along, and then it's the classroom this side, and I'll announce those when I do it. We'll have sitting meditation, walking meditation. We'll break for lunch at a suitable moment, but somewhere around lunchtime. And I think we're going to go almost to five today. Is that how everybody understands it? Because I think there was I spoke to Louise, the lovely administrator of London Insight, and said, actually, we have quite a big theme that I've put on the table today, not self and self-acceptance. I think we need a little longer. And so that's why we're having the shorter lunch and the slightly, 20 minutes extra at the day. So to support us in the practice, please give each other the silence and the solitude, not engaging with your friends or other people here. As Rilke puts it, we can be guardians of each other's solitude. Which, if you just have a breath with that, breathe with this contemplation, breathing in and breathing out. It's a little bit like that keeping quiet part, where we tend the quiet, we're nurturing something. It's not that we have to tighten and go, oops, I've got to be like really tight now, but I'm not speaking to anyone. My wish for you is that you can really spread out in the silence, that you're not having to hold yourself narrow or confined, but that we can be here together because we are here together. One of the upshots of a deep understanding of emptiness, actually, is the full immediate knowledge that we're really in this together. We're really in this together. In a way that the head, the heart, and the body knows intimately and immediately, and then that, of course, informs our ethic and our action in the world. Okay, so let's sit for a couple of minutes and then I'll begin the guidance. So just for a couple of minutes to keep the quiet.